जय श्री कार श्री श्री गुरु ग्रंग श्री श्री गंधारविक गिरी हरि जो की जाय गौर हरि गो. So I'm going to start with reading something from Srila Govinda Maharaj's will.
Can I have my tea while I'm listening?
Sure. Yeah, if you like, go ahead. You can sit in the kitchen.
Okay.
Srila, like every, like every adult, virtually every adult, who wants to see that his has some estate and wants to give some direction to his children, and in this case a guru who wants to give direction to his followers, they leave some direction in the form of a will. So Srila Govinda Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he left a will. Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, he made a will. Srila Bhakti Rakak Shiradev Goswami Maharaj, he made a will. And Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj, he made a will. And the purpose of a will is to settle the estate. It has actually, it can be broken down into two functions. The last will and testament. And they've been described a little differently. They can mean the same thing, but they've been described differently. The will means what is the desire. The person who is to pass away, he has some desires. He has some things that he wants his family or his followers, in our case, his disciples, to do, to follow. That's his desire. That's his will. This is my will. I want these persons who are following me, who have respect for me, who have regard for me, who think that there is some value in following my direction, this is my direction to them. And that's known as a will. And in addition to those things, there's also something that may be thought of as separate, but it can also be thought of as the same thing, and that's the testament. And the testament generally describes how property will be disposed of. In other words, what property will be inherited by certain children, and sometimes there's a business, who will operate the business, who will get the, if the business is sold, who will receive the proceeds from the sale, and things like that. So their directions, understanding that his, and Srila Govinda Maharaj, understanding that his disappearance was imminent, and in order to provide direction for us, his followers, and his disciples, then he created a will, titled Last Will and Testament. And in the first paragraph of that Last Will and Testament, he says, I, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj, and gives his other names by which he's known and his address, declare and state that this is my last will. And that means these are my last desires that I want everyone to know. This is to be made known to the public, that this is my last, these are my last desires. I am expressing them here in a written form so that they will not be misunderstood, so that they will be clear to everyone. These are my desires. Then, notwithstanding any will made by me at any previous time, that means forget anything that was said or done previously that may be construed or considered as my will. You forget about that. Then he further says, I revoke all wills and codicils. A codicil means an amendment, an addendum, or something that might be considered or construed as part of a will. As I revoke all wills If there was any will prior to this one, I revoke it. I cancel it. It's ended. We just read, this is my last will. So anything previous, forget it. It's gone, finished. This is what I want everyone to know is my will just before my disappearance. I declare that after my demise, and then he makes many paragraphs and so forth, sentences and paragraphs of declarations, what he wants his loyal and obedient disciples and followers to do after his disappearance. So he declares many things there, and one thing that he Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj said, the real point is who will be the acharyas after this acharya. Govinda Maharaj is the acharya of a big mission, and he has a right to say, I want so-and-so to be acharya. I want this person or another person or any number of persons to be acharya. I'm the acharya now, and I declare I want these following persons to be acharyas after my disappearance. So in the case of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, clearly he did not give any specific direction on that point. In the case of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he gave very specific direction that following him, the acharya shall be His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj. And that acharya, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj, our revered preceptor, master, guru, he said that there will be six acharyas that will succeed him. Succeed means that where he was previously the acharya, now he says this person will be the acharya. So here in New York, previously New York, New Jersey, and Detroit, previously Srila Govinda Maharaj, he was the acharya of New York, New Jersey, and Detroit. And in his will, he says, Sripad Giri Maharaj is a very good person, and my respect is also with Giri Maharaj. He will be the acharya of New York, New Jersey, and Detroit. So that is the declaration of Srila Govinda Maharaj. After his disappearance, who will succeed him as the acharya in these places? He has named that person as myself, Bhakti Kanan Giri Maharaj. Now, his reasons for doing that are his own to know, but what he has declared, that is quite clear, very specific, and unambiguous. There's no confusion. So yet it appears that actually there is some confusion. Now, why would there be confusion about something that's so clear? Confusion happens when people want something which they do not receive through a clear instruction. Bhagavad Gita is very clear. It is so clear. Everything is very clear. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavan means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Who is Bhagavan? He is saying Uvacha. He's speaking something. He says something. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, and then he says something to Arjuna. He's speaking to his friend, his friend has accepted him as guru, has accepted Krishna as his guru. Shishyasthehang shadimang twang prapanam. I accept you as my guru. You are my guru. Now please instruct me clearly what is best for me. And during the course of those instructions, Krishna repeatedly, not Krishna is saying, but Vyasadeva is saying, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said. And Srila Prabhupada says, so that means there are two persons. And where, and they are at a place, Kurukshetra, a well-known historic place in India. It is not some imaginary place. It is not a fictitional place. It is a real place, a historical place, where many events previously had taken place. It is known as Dharmakshetra, a place of pilgrimage, a place where religious principles are followed. So that Kurukshetra, not the body, anyway, so many things. Many translators of Bhagavad Gita, so-called translators, really they are interpreters, and they are giving their own idea about what Bhagavad Gita is saying so that they can do what they want with it. And what do they want? They want to make name and fame for themselves, or they want to acquire followers or something. They want to gain some prestige, some money, so whatever. Whatever they want, it was not what Srila Prabhupada wanted, which was that people understood Bhagavad Gita as it is. Here's what Krishna is saying. Know it. Take it. Don't distort it. I'm not distorting it. Now you don't distort it. No one should distort it. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said something. My dear Arjuna, whatever. O scion of Bharata, etc. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he is speaking, and Arjuna is listening, and Arjuna is asking questions. There are two people there. There is not one person. It is impossible to come to some conclusion that there is all one when there are clearly, distinctly two, right? But many people say, oh, Bhagavad Gita is showing that all is one. We are all God. That everyone is God and everything is God and etc. In other words, they are giving some Mayavad or impersonalist interpretation of Bhagavad Gita. So what Krishna spoke very clearly, and I wrote in one article, that one may think that Bhagavad Gita as it is would be the natural outcome of translating Bhagavad Gita. But it is not the natural outcome. And it's not the natural outcome for the reasons that I just mentioned. There's another reason. Number one is, because no one is surrendered to Krishna, then they can't understand it even if they wanted to. Can't understand it. Krishna says, if you're not surrendered to me, if you're not devoted to me, then you can't understand this. And he says, if you're not austere, if you're not clean, and he gives other qualifications, then you're not qualified. So not everyone is qualified. And so who is unqualified means who is not sincere, who is not genuine. Then he can read Bhagavad Gita, and he cannot understand it. Raja Vidyam, Raja Guyam, Pavatram, Idham, Uttamam, Prataksavagamam, Dharmyam, Susukam, Kartum, Avyaham. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam. Guyam means it is a secret. Raja Vidya. Raj means king. Vidya is knowledge. This is the king of all knowledge. Raja Guyam. But is the king of all secrets. Now millions of Bhagavad Gitas have been distributed. Now we also have been graced with the Bhagavad Gita of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, hidden treasure of the Sweet Absolute. The hidden treasure of the Sweet Absolute. So Srila Sridhar Maharaj is saying the same thing. There's something great here, but it's hidden. How is it hidden? Here's the book. In which way is it hidden? We're distributing these books. Bhagavad Gita, the hidden treasure. Bhagavad Gita as it is. In which way is it hidden? It's hidden from those who are not sincere. It's hidden because one has to be qualified to understand Bhagavad Gita. He has to be a devotee of Krishna. Some things have to come before that. He has to have some sukriti, has to have sufficient sukriti. Pious acquisition of piety, spiritual piety, that he is enabled to understand. Sumedha saha, some spiritual intelligence. The scriptures are not understood by mundane intelligence, they're understood by spiritual intelligence. So, because someone knows how to operate a computer, how to program a computer, and knows that it has to say, oh, the function is either 0 or 1, it's either off or it's on. That's not the sort of intelligence that is required. And no matter how many hundreds of thousands of those numbers you can program into a computer or create a microchip or something like that, none of those things qualify one in the least as having intelligence to understand what Krishna is saying to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. So first thing is, one must have some qualification. One must be sincere. So Krishna covers that point. Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tatta gachati. For one who is sincere, no one can cheat him. If one is sincere, no one can cheat him. You will not be cheated. Then what's the converse of that? If one is not sincere, he will be cheated. Right? That's pretty straightforward. If one is not sincere, then he will be cheated. If one is sincere, he will never be cheated. For one who is good, he will never be overcome by evil. One who is not good, he will be overcome by evil. For one who can see reality, he'll never be overcome by illusion. For one who has touch with reality, illusion is not a problem for him. He can see clearly, even through illusion. For someone who has light, then darkness will not be a problem for him. Right? As long as you have light, then darkness is not a problem. Darkness is a problem for those living in darkness. Illusion is a problem for those living in illusion. Cheating is a problem for those who are cheating themselves. For one who knows truth, then lies, deceit, those are not a problem. You'll be able to see through the lies and the deceit, because he's living with the truth. There's a good example of this in the Bhagavatam, when Prahlad Maharaj is attacking the demons. Then so many, they were expert. The demons are expert with creating illusion. So they created great, wondrous illusions. And when Prahlad Maharaj was taking his chariot to go to the battlefield to fight with the demons, they tried to first divert him with illusions, tried to turn him back, tried to stop him by creating different illusions. Horrible things like one would see in a nightmare.
Like bodies falling from
the
sky.
Right, you remember.
Blood everywhere and pus and stool.
Okay. Yeah, right. Frogs and fish and things like that falling out of the sky, and then, like you were saying,
black clouds and everything.
Limbs of bodies and something gory, absolutely gory. And Prahlad Maharaj countered that illusion. That's a type of weapon. That's a weapon of the demons. Illusion, to create illusion, right? And the counter to that, Prahlad Maharaj, he had a counter weapon, and that was some arrows that he had that he could fire into that and they would dissipate that illusion. So that's what Bhagavad Gita as it is, Bhagavad Gita hidden treasure, Bhagavad Gita presented by a devotee of Krishna, they dissipate the illusion. But one has to be genuine himself to read it and understand it. Otherwise, it doesn't matter how good the book is, how pure it is, anything. If one himself is bent on on enjoying material life, then nothing can stop him from that. You won't stop him. There's nothing you can do. So this is also mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj. Punak punas charvita charvananang. Can't remember the verse, but punak punas charvita charvananang. I mean, he will continue chewing the chewed. That's what this material world is. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Chewing the chewed. That's what everyone is doing. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Without consciousness of God, of Krishna. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And it has been, each of the conditioned souls has done it for lifetimes. It's not new. Samsara, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, round and round and round. Animal species, fish species, bird species, plant species, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. In each species, they have their own way of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The biologists, they study. This is their whole life, is studying the eating, sleeping, mating, and defending of all sorts of creatures. Whether it's a one-celled creature or a multi-bazillion-celled creature, what the scientists are studying, let's see how they're eating. Let's see how they're sleeping. Let's see how they're mating. Let's see how they're defending. And then they make notes. This is what this one is doing. This is what this one is doing. This is how the amoeba reproduces. This is how the fly reproduces. This is how the plant reproduces. Right? That's what they're studying. Is that the study of that life is meant for? Is that the research that we're meant for? No. But under illusion, that's what it is. Everyone interested eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So the Bhagavatam describes this as chewing that which has already been chewed. Different species, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Chewing, chewing, chewing. Trying to get more juice from the gum that has already had all the juice extracted. So someone buys some piece of juicy fruit, right? Or bubble gum or something. And it has, the reason it's so tasty, it is just some chewy substance. It has no taste of its own. So some flavor and some sugar is added, and they say the gum tastes very nice. But it's not the gum. It's like the camel. He thinks, these thorns taste very nice. But the camel is not tasting the thorn, he's tasting his own blood. He's eating the thorns, the thorn are pricking his tongue, causing blood to ooze, and the camel is tasting that, his own blood, and he's thinking, this thorn is giving me very nice taste. That's what chewing gum is. It's just a delivery mechanism for sugar and flavor. But when all the flavor and the sugar has been extracted by mastication, by chewing, and through the saliva, the enzymes in the saliva and so forth, and carried through the bloodstream to other parts of the body, then there's no taste there. And someone still chewing that, thinking that, he's going to get the taste back, is an illusion. He's chewing the chewed. That's what material enjoyment is, chewing the chewed. So, how can one be involved in that? He's fooling himself. And he's being fooled by others also, the cheaters and the cheated. So he's wants to be cheated. Otherwise, nahi kalyana krit kaschit, can't be cheated. But he wants to be cheated. He wants to live in the illusion. So, very Bhagavad Gita is easy to understand if one wants to understand it. And the same for the directions of the sadhu, the guru, the scripture. If one wants to understand it, then it's not difficult to understand. It's a very simple, simple thing. It is not hard. Who cannot understand that there's some problem with him? There's no problem with the scripture. There's no problem with the guru. There's no problem with the sadhu. They're all pure and they are giving clear and easy to understand instruction. If someone cannot understand it, there is a reason, and the reason is that there is some problem. So what I'm just reading here is very simple. Sripad Bhakti Kanan Giri Maharaj. Giri Maharaj is a very good person, and my respect is also with Giri Maharaj. He will be the Acharya of New York, New Jersey, and Detroit. Is it easy to understand?
Yeah.
After Gurudev is telling, after him, he was the Acharya of New York, New Jersey, and Detroit. Not Giri Maharaj. There was no other Acharya in our mission, Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, for New York, New Jersey, and Detroit. Only one Acharya, Srila Govinda Maharaj. Very simple, right? And that Srila Govinda Maharaj is saying, now, after my demise, that's what's written in his will, I declare that after my demise, after his disappearance, Sripad Giri Maharaj, he will be the Acharya of New York, New Jersey, and Detroit. No mystery. It's very, very simple. So, and yet, there is misunderstanding. There are disciples of Govinda Maharaj, initiated by him, who are supposed to be obedient to their guru, right? But they don't understand this. They're not following this. They're not giving attention to this. And, you know, whatever the reasons, they can say any number of reasons, whatever they want, they can say. But this is the instruction of Srila Govinda Maharaj. And so those who are really disciples of Govinda Maharaj, then they should follow that. Now, they may not like me. They may think, oh, Giri Maharaj is a very proud person. Okay, yeah, maybe Giri Maharaj is. Maybe Giri Maharaj doesn't, is not as qualified as Govinda Maharaj. Yeah, that's also, of course. I admit that freely. Maybe Giri Maharaj, maybe this, maybe that, maybe something else. Maybe many things, maybe many faults with me. That's okay. There is a chain of command. You know what that means, Leela Sundari?
Chain of adults who are older than us.
Well, like, it's usually a term used in the military.
More, they're what?
You understand it, Gadaira Goranga?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It means who is a superior must be followed. Govinda Maharaj is the superior. The ultimate superior, executive, commander-in-chief of all the forces, right? That's Govinda Maharaj. And this is what he says. Now, we may think, oh, but my commander, he's not qualified for whatever. He's not as good as the commander-in-chief. He's not as good as the general. He's not good enough for me. Okay. Maybe he's not. But The Supreme Commander said, you follow him. Now I am designating him the role that I previously served. Now he will serve that role. The function that I previously oversaw, the functions and so forth, now he will serve that function. So you follow him. And if you can't follow him, try to follow him. First give it a try, right? That's what sincere means. Try. Give it a chance and see if you cannot follow my instruction. Now, if you know, are there exceptions? Yes, there are exceptions. What are the exceptions? You know the exception, Gadaira Gauranga, if a superior gives an order, are there exceptions where you don't have to follow that order?
Yeah, when you don't, when it just doesn't make any sense.
Okay, that's pretty good. If it doesn't make any sense, right? So if a sergeant gives an order and it's contrary to, like in the United States, if it's contrary to the Constitution, if it's an illegal order, right? Orders can be illegal orders also. If it's illegal by the military code, then a soldier's an inferior soldier is not required to follow an illegal order, right? Yeah, so if it's illegal, then we're not required to follow it. And the same for us. So if one of the acharyas, such as myself, that Govinda Maharaj named, if any of them show that they are not, that they are behaving illegally, that they are acting improperly, and they're, you know, we can discuss that if need be. We have some general idea what that means. We know there's a standard for acharya, there's a standard for guru, there's a standard for Vaishnava, his behavior, what he should follow. So if he's not, if he's deviating, if he's doing something illegal, illicit, well then he doesn't have to be followed. Gurudev would not demand that we follow someone who is obviously not qualified. He would not do that. And he told me so himself. He told me I do not have to follow such a person. So, but even if he didn't say it, Srila Sridhar Maharaj has said it, the scriptures say it, we discussed yesterday, gurur nasasyat, svajano nasasyat. If a guru is not qualified, if he can't deliver his disciples from the cycle of repeated birth and death, he must not he may be abandoned, he should be abandoned, he must be left. Leave him for a proper guru, right? Because save yourself, that's the first principle. Save yourself. If you can't save yourself, you can't help anyone else. So save yourself. Then help them. So Srila Sridhar Maharaj put it in this way. Self-preservation, then propagation. So like if you're on a ship or an airplane, they have life preservers. So that's self-preservation. That's what the life preserver is for. Preserve your life. If you can float, then maybe you can help someone else who doesn't have a life preserver. Then you can help him also, right? But if you're sinking, you can't save yourself, and you can't help any others also. If only I could remember that verse of Prahlad Maharaj. Why can I not think of it? But that's said there also in this verse of Prahlad Maharaj. Punak punas charvita charvananam. If one is too much addicted to sense gratification, then no one can help him. He cannot help himself. Even a guru cannot help him. So one of the symptoms of being too much, anyway. So We must be obedient to our guru. Without obedience to the guru, there is no progress in spiritual life. There is not. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj is describing a schism that developed within the followers of the so-called, within the group of supposed followers of Advaita Acharya. Now, there were real followers and supposed followers. Supposed followers means they look like followers, but they're not really. So there were real followers and there were imitationists. The real followers, they followed the order of Advaita Acharya. And the supposed followers did not. They deviated. Asara, so Krishnadas Kaviraj says they became asara. They became useless. Those who deviated from the order of the Acharya, they became useless. So, anyone who has heard these instructions of Srila Govinda Maharaj, he is obliged to follow them, with the exceptions already noted. If he does not follow these instructions, if he does not follow the instructions of his guru, if he is a disciple or a follower of Srila Govinda Maharaj, and he does not follow the instructions of Srila Govinda Maharaj, then he will be asara. He will be a useless person. Maybe like we were also mentioning the other day, someone may be in the dress of a Vaishnava. That's okay. Very good. Anyone can put on this cloth, right? It's sold in stores. It's just cloth. Anyone can dye it saffron or yellow or blue or whatever color they want. And they can put on some tilak and they can call themselves Vaishnavas. And someone can also take initiation from a guru and think that he is therefore qualified as a Vaishnava. But to be qualified as a Vaishnava, it's like Chaturvarnyang Mayashrestam. The same thing. One is not born a Brahmin. One is not born a Shudra. We don't say that someone is Brahmin by birth. We completely reject that. We say what Krishna says. Someone is a Brahmin by qualification. That's all. By qualification. So who is qualified as a Brahmin? He is a Brahmin. Those qualifications also are given in Bhagavad Gita and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Suci, he must be clean. What are they? He must possess wisdom. What is this verse? I'm so forgetting. Because I'm not using these verses very often, so forgetting. Anyway, not my job to supply every verse. Bhagavad Gita is there. Anyone can look it up. Qualifications of a Brahmin are given there. Clean, righteous, possess wisdom, etc. So, And the qualifications of a Shudra, and the qualifications of a Kshatriya, and the qualifications of a Vaishya, they're given. So if someone is born in a Brahmin family, he possesses the qualities of Brahmin, he's righteous, he's wisdom, he's established in the absolute truth, well, then he's a Brahmin. And if someone is a Shudra, and he's righteous, he possesses wisdom, he's suci, he's clean, etc., he's established in the absolute truth, then he's a Brahmin. And Kiba Vipra, Kiba Nyasi, Shudra Kene Nai, Ye Krishna, Tattva Veta, Se Guru Hai. And if and whatever he is, if he knows the science of Krishna, he's a guru. He's a Vaishnava and he's a guru. Right? So we don't say, oh, if one is born in a guru family, then he's a guru. No. If he is expert, if he is established in the science of Krishna, Krishna consciousness, then he's a guru. Whatever, wherever he came from, doesn't matter. That's ridiculous. That is, to consider one's birth, to consider a Vaishnava according to one's birth, that is sinful to think that a Vaishnava is should be known by his birth, right? Whether he is from a Mohammedan family, a Muslim family, a Catholic family, a Hindu family, a Vaishnava family. Is he a Vaishnava? That's to be known. Does he know Krishna? Is he established in Krishna consciousness? So, if one is to make progress in Krishna consciousness, this is not the practice for the weak of heart. Krishna consciousness. This is not the religion, the spiritual path for those who are weak-minded, weak of heart, can't engage in some austerity, etc. No. Because these things will be necessary if you're going to be a devotee of Krishna. You have to follow Krishna's direction, and that means there's some effort, some exertion, some energy we will have to expend. We'll not just sit twiddling our thumbs and wait for Krishna consciousness to fall on us. We won't get it that way. We must exert ourselves, and in which way? Following the directions of our guru. We must find a guru if we don't have one, must find a bona fide guru, and that also, we will not look for a guru on the basis of, other gurus are saying four regulative principles, but this guru is only saying, if you only follow three, that's okay. Oh, so this is easier, I'll follow this guru. We don't look for a guru like that, right? Who is, again, same thing. Guru, who is established in the absolute truth. We must seek that sort of person as guru. Not a matter of convenience. Prabhupada used to say, like someone keeps a dog, like a fashion. You have a guru. I also have a guru. Oh yes, he smiles very nicely. You should see his smile. That's not serious business. Serious business is guru must be established in the absolute truth. How do we know that? He's coming in the line of gurus established in the absolute truth. So that's why we give great attention to the sampradaya, the parampara. Gurus who have been recognized, like Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, like Srila Bhaktivakar Kshiradev Goswami Maharaj, like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, like Srila Satchidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur, like Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, so many, and like Srila Govinda Maharaj, those who are established, undeviated, unswerving. Their guru means heavy. They're not lagu, light, floating like the feather, going one way and the other, whichever way the wind blows. That's not guru. Who is firm, who is established, firmly established in the absolute truth. Whoever that may be, he should be recognized as guru. And our Srila Govinda Maharaj certainly is well established there, and therefore we are following him, and we advise everyone to follow him. If you will follow him, then your spiritual life will be safe, be secure. And if you don't follow him, then you become useless. And then what is your position? You have no position. Any questions? If we think, if we want, think every, anyway, so the world of confusion, and it's very natural. It's unfortunate, but very natural. It's a phase we have to go through. The spiritual master, when he leaves this world, then confusion automatically comes, unavoidable. And very easy to leave the instructions of the guru and or interpret them. Oh, well, he said this, but he couldn't have meant that. He must have meant something else. He said that there were six acharyas, but he couldn't have meant that. He must have meant there should really be only one acharya. Right? That was some illusion created by some unauthorized persons. Authorized means Govinda Maharaj, and who is following him? He is authorized. Unauthorized means those, oh, we have another way, we have a new way, we have a different way, we have a unique way, we have a better way, we have a whatever way. They're unauthorized. They are useless. Useful is who doesn't change the order. What the guru says, now I'm saying to you. Krishna says, acharyang mang vijaniyang. Now I'm saying to you. It may be embarrassing that the acharya is saying, Krishna says he is the acharya. The acharya is non-different from Krishna. And the acharya may have to speak those words himself. An embarrassing position. In other words, the acharya is directly saying, give jai to me. I am the acharya. Recognize me. I am non-different from Krishna. not a pleasant position for any gentleman, right? Give recognition to the acharya. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that that is the duty of the acharya. He must say it for the welfare of others, because he has to train others, he has to teach others. And he says, if the acharya rather says only in gives some indirect inference about that, then he dismisses that. No. That's not for the genuine acharya. Acharyang mang vijaniyang. He must explain that skanda, the acharya, is non-different from Krishna. So as you would accept Krishna's direction, like Arjuna is accepting Krishna's direction, then those who are in the line of Krishna consciousness, following a guru, guru and acharya. Guru means same thing, acharyang mang vijaniyang. Then who has accepted a bona fide guru, then he will think guru is closer to what is more helpful than Krishna. Krishna is giving instruction in Bhagavad Gita, but as we discuss, that instruction may easily be misunderstood. And the guru will correct his disciple. No, the meaning is not that. The meaning is this. This is the proper meaning. Kurukshetra is not an imaginary place. It's a place where Krishna and Arjuna met on the battlefield. Krishna is the chariot driver, not a fictitious person. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And he's so intimately connected as a friend of Arjuna that to protect Arjuna, Krishna is acting as his chariot driver. Krishna is in front of Arjuna. Right? Chariot driver is in front of the warrior. And Krishna is so affectionate with Arjuna that Arjuna says turn left and Krishna is turning left. And Arjuna says turn right and Krishna turns right. And Arjuna says go faster and Krishna goes faster. Go slower, stop, everything. He's the servant of Arjuna, showing himself as the servant of Arjuna. Right? Charioteer means servant. Serving the master. The warrior. Now Krishna is so affectionate to his devotees. And so much so, Arjuna is afraid, maybe I've made some offense. We are doing everything together like friends. We are eating together. We are sleeping in the same bed sometimes. We're traveling about, talking, very and very friendly. How's the weather today? What do you think? Oh, yes, it looks like it'll be a nice day. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Arjuna is accepting him as his guru. Well, sometimes there are friendly dealings with guru and disciple, and there are certainly friendly dealings with one who is in the Sakya Rasa, friendly relationship with the Lord. And that means they are behaving as friends, equals, not master and servant, not one superior, one inferior, friends. Oh, friends behave that way, the way Krishna and Arjuna. But when there is confusion, when there is bewilderment, then it is necessary for the bewildered one to get guidance from someone who is not confused and not bewildered. And Arjuna saw Krishna, he's not bewildered. Arjuna is seeing his relatives, his weapons master. Weapons master means his teacher who's instructed him how to all of the military science and the arts of fighting. And he's on the opposing side, and Arjuna knows that he will have to fight with his teacher, right? And kill him if possible. And he grew up with the Kurus like brothers. They are all like brothers. 100 Kuru brothers, like brothers to Arjuna and the Pandavas. And they are all the sons of Dhritarashtra, who was like a father to Arjuna. And so many kings that the Pandavas, Yudhishthira and Arjuna had friendship with, and Bhishma, their grandfather, he is there on the other side, and they must destroy. The Pandavas are set out, Yudhishthira Maharaj is set out to destroy, utterly destroy them. Isn't it? Right? Huh?
Well, who's set out to this room?
Arjuna, Yudhishthira, the Pandavas, they're going to fight with the Kurus, and their fight is to destroy them.
They have to destroy each other, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, each side is out to destroy the other.
Okay.
And but Arjuna, if he's going to fight with them, then he must kill them. He must destroy, utterly destroy them. Defeat means utter, unconditional surrender, destruction, surrender. Dhritarashtra out is king. Duryodhan will never be king. He's also finished, killed. And Yudhishthira will be king, and they will all serve under Yudhishthira.
Yeah, Arjuna don't seem like the kind that he'll kill the people. It seems like he'll just try to arrest them.
No, he killed so many.
Oh yeah, Arjuna.
Thousands and thousands, of course. He is Maharatha. He can fight with thousands at a time. Millions were killed in the Battle of Kurukshetra. 640 million soldiers killed. Can you imagine that? 600, that's double the population of the United States. That's how many persons were killed in the battle. 640 million. And a great number of them killed by Arjuna. No, that's the... That's what it means to fight a war. It means killing the enemy. So, in Srila Swami Maharaj's Gita, he points out, but Arjuna was a soft-hearted Vaishnava. He didn't want to. It wasn't his, who can I go out and kill today? It wasn't like that, right? No, he was so troubled. He became bewildered. Oh, this job. I don't want to do this job, Krishna. You're asking me. You're saying Yudhishthira must be installed as the king. But to install him, I have to fight and kill so many of these friends and relatives. I don't want to do that. And Krishna says, oh, Arjuna, you silly boy. You silly person. What are you saying? You're talking learned words. Arjuna is giving reference from the Vedas, how one should not kill his relatives and so many things. And Krishna says, oh, you fool. Why are you talking this foolishness? You're speaking learned, speaking as if you're a learned man, but you're mourning for that which is not worthy of grief. You're mourning, you're already mourning that, oh, these people will be killed. Why? They will not, don't you know they are eternal jivas? They will not be killed. You cannot kill anyone. And then Krishna explains why Arjuna cannot kill anyone, because the soul cannot be killed. That is, again, that's the illusion. Part of the illusion. Birth and death, that's illusion. For the soul, there's never birth nor death. Nor having once been, does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, he is undying, he is eternal. He is not slain when the body is slain. Right? Ah. Krishna is telling Arjuna. This is a job, has to be done. And you're mourning, you're disturbed, you're bewildered, da-da-da, you're all upset, everything. What's wrong with you, Arjuna? Have you forgotten who you are, what you are? Come to your senses. You're a warrior, for God's sakes. Act like one. And Arjuna is saying, oh, maybe I should go off and become a mendicant and go and meditate in the forest or something. Krishna's saying, you foolish man. What happened to you? You've forgotten what you are. That's not your job. You'll never be happy that way. Your job is to protect your brothers, the Pandavas, and install Yudhishthira Maharaj as the king, and the Kurus have created the situation where the only way that's possible is to kill them all. And they were all killed, all 100 of them. All 100 of the sons of Dhritarashtra were all killed. Along with all those who supported them, all those who followed them onto the battlefield, charioteers, elephants, horses, all killed. Because why? Because they also would not accept a simple instruction, simple direction that Maharaj Pandu gave his kingdom over to the control of Dhritarashtra as guardian for who? For the Pandavas. So Yudhishthira would become king after Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra created some illusion. Oh no, let's interpret that. Let's find some way to make my own sons the king and the princes and so forth. It's all going on eternally. That's the nature of this material world, illusion. Cheaters and cheated. Dhritarashtra was trying to cheat. And Duryodhan, his son, leading son, he was trying to cheat. And that's what they, and how did they win their chess match? Through cheating. Right? First, the kingdom of the Pandavas was lost through a chess match, but that Shukoni, who was giving instructions to the Kurus, was telling him how to cheat. So through cheating, they acquired the kingdom, the Kurus acquired the kingdom, and through righteous behavior, the Pandavas took it back. Any questions?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
So the cheaters, Dhritarashtra, the Kurus, cheaters. But the Pandavas could not be cheated. Yudhishthir was cheated and he conceded to avoid making an issue. Okay. And the Pandavas accepted exile in the forest. And so many horrible indignities they suffered as a result of their exile, as a result of they even lost their wife in the chess match, right? Draupadi. And Krishna didn't like any of this. So they thought, what did the Kurus think? We're 100, they are 5. What are they? Right? What are they going to do? We'll do whatever we want. They can go. Get lost. That's what they told them. Go get lost. Go to the forest. Forget you. We don't care. We're 100, you're 5. What can you do? All the kings, they will support us also. When they see we have the power, then they will give their support to us also. Right? And they did, and that's what happened. So most of the kings of that time supported the usurper, Duryodhan, trying to illegally take the kingdom of the Pandavas. And Arjuna, Yudhishthir, Nakula, Sahadev, Bhima, they were supported by only a few. They had a much smaller army. Insignificant. Duryodhan looked at their army and he said, "Pah! What do we have to worry about? They're nothing, right? Insignificant. Puny. bunch of just a few puny soldiers. We are great. Look, we have grandfather Bhishma. He is undefeatable. He's a great general. No one can defeat him. He's on our side. And Duryodhan says, Dronacharya, the weapons master of everyone, he's on our side. And Kaunteya, Radheya, he's on our side. Maharatha, he can defeat Arjuna. So what do we have? We don't have to worry about Arjuna. Bhishma is there. He can give direction to our forces, etc., etc. He can't even be killed. No one can kill Bhishma. He has a benediction. No one can kill him. So in this way, Duryodhana was thinking, we are unconquerable. We are undefeatable. So we don't need to worry for anything. But they had one worry. You know what the worry was? Don't do that now. Wait till later. What was the worry?
No, I don't know.
Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas.
I did have to go to the bathroom.
Okay. So Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas. That was the one consternation, the one great worry of those on the side of the Kurus. They had some estimation. What is the power of Krishna? So whatever we do, we want Krishna to be on our side. Krishna is represented in our guru. Our guru, Srila Govinda Maharaj, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Srila Swami Maharaj, our other gurus in this line, but we're following them through Srila Govinda Maharaj. So he is the one we must give first seat to. And show our utmost obedience and regard for his direction, then we will be on the safe side. Then we will be undefeated. And if we take the other side, then we become useless. Jai Sparikar Sri Sri Guru Garanga Sri Sri Gandharvika Giridhari Ju Ki Jai! Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Varya Ashto Tarasata Shishimad Srila Bhakti Sundara Govinda Dev Gosami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Varya Ashto Tarasata Shishimad Srila Bhakti Rakak Shridhar Dev Gosami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Varya Ashto Tarasata Shishimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupad Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Varya Ashto Tarasata Shishimad Bhagavan Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Gosami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Shri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Jai Namacharya, Jai Sad Gosami Prabhu's Ki Jai. Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Anantikoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Jai Shri Govinda Maharaj Sannyas Day Adivas Titi Ki Jai. Tomorrow Shri Govinda Maharaj is we're celebrating his taking of sannyas, right? The day he received sannyas from Srila Sridhar Maharaj. Jai, all glories to Srila Gurudev's sannyas, Leela. Jai Om Vishnupad, all the Vaishnavacharyas, Jai Saparikar, Sri Sri Guru Garanga, Gandharvika Giridhari Ju Ki Jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Jai Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai, Jai Nittai Gaur Premanande Haribo, Gaur Haribo, Gaur Haribo.